98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. World reacts to U.S. bombing of Iran nuclear sites. We have the story.
I'm Phil Hildebrand. Three teens were hurt in a shooting over the weekend. I'll have the details coming up.
Body of a boy hit by a train recovered in Neosho County. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Iran launched a missile at Israel after the U.S. intervened in the conflict with its own strikes Saturday night. Fox's Greg Palkot in Tel Aviv with details.
We heard, first of all, our warning on our cell phones basically says that the missiles are just been launched in Iran. And then we heard the sirens go off. We heard distant rumbles. We don't think that Tel Aviv itself was targeted. According to the Israeli media, is that in this instance, there was one missile and that it was in fact intercepted by the Iron Dome defenses. Of course, this comes after those B-2 stealth bombers hit Fordo nuclear site as well as other nuclear sites in Iran, and the Israeli government is very appreciative of the U.S. involvement.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard says the U.S. put itself at the front lines of aggression. The Pentagon promised to strike back if Iran retaliates.
Three teenagers were hurt in a shooting Friday evening in North Wichita.
It happened around 8:30 p.m. at a park near 29th Street North and Grove. Wichita police tell our partners at 12 News that the shooting followed a pool party and that when the crime occurred, around 100 to 200 people were in the park. A 16-year-old male underwent surgery and as of Saturday evening was listed in critical but stable condition. Two 19-year-old male victims were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Two vehicles crashed as people tried to flee the park in the wake of the shooting, but no serious injuries were reported. Police say shell casings found in a parking lot and in the street came from different caliber weapons. No arrests have been made at this time. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Neosho County Sheriff Greg Taylor says search crews recovered the body of 12-year-old Colin Showalter Sunday afternoon in southeast Kansas. Last Wednesday, Showalter and 16-year-old Arthur Polreese were on a bridge over the Neosho River when a train hit them while they were running. Polreese's body was found as rescue crews arrived at the scene. Sunday afternoon, Sheriff Taylor was notified by the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks of a possible sighting of Showalter's body in the Neosho River at the KG&E Dam located a few miles north of U.S. 400 in Labette County. First responders recovered the body, and the body has been turned over to the Neosho County Coroner.
Sales of fireworks underway in Sedgwick County.
Each city in the county determines its own rules when fireworks can be discharged and what kinds are allowed. You are encouraged to buy fireworks where you plan to discharge them. You are also encouraged to visit the 2025 fireworks sales and discharge dates on the county's website. There you will find a list of cities and dates to legally buy and shoot fireworks, or check with your town for specific fireworks regulations. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A man was killed after shooting at a Detroit church Sunday, and another person was injured. Wayne Police Chief Ryan Strong described the suspect and points to a possible reason for the attack.
The gunman is a 31-year-old white male from Rye Mills. His motivations are unknown, but at this point it appears he was suffering from a mental health crisis.
The church's pastor told media a member of the church rammed the shooter with their truck before the security guard shot him. KNSS News Time now, 8:03, 3 minutes past 8 o'clock.
The NBA season wrapping up just down the road in Oklahoma City last night. We'll see who won coming up in sports.
The founder of FedEx has died. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Fred Smith, the FedEx Corporation founder who revolutionized the express delivery industry, has died. He was 80 years old. FedEx started operating in 1973, delivering small parcels and documents more quickly than the Postal Service. Over the next half century, Smith, a Marine Corps veteran, oversaw the growth of a company that became something of an economic bellwether because so many other companies rely on it.
The Department of Homeland Security is issuing a warning about undocumented migrants from Iran. Fox's Mike Emanuel is in the nation's capital with this report.
Customs and Border Protection sources tell Fox News nearly half of the Iranian nationals who crossed the border illegally during the Biden administration were released into the U.S. Border Patrol arrested 1,504 Iranian nationals at our southern border from fiscal year 2021 through 2024. 729 of them were released into the U.S. Iranians are considered special interest aliens due to national security concerns and are supposed to receive enhanced vetting by DHS. Now, officials are worried about an Iranian threat to the homeland. Homeland Security sent out a bulletin warning of a heightened threat environment and low-level cyber attacks.
DHS also says violent extremist attacks could be possible if Iranian leadership issues a decree to attack.
There are more than a dozen people dead and many others injured following an attack on a Greek Orthodox church on the outskirts of Damascus, Syria. Fox's Molly Line has the latest.
According to reports from The Guardian, an ISIS suicide bomber has killed at least 22 people and injured 63 more after detonating an explosive vest at a Christian church in Damascus, Syria. The alleged attacker opened fire inside a Greek Orthodox church before setting off a bomb. According to the report, eyewitnesses also saw a second gunman fire at the worshipers, but he did not blow himself up. This is the first suicide bombing in the country since the overthrow of former Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
ISIS has not yet claimed responsibility for that attack.
There's a new way to get around in one city in Texas.
A few dozen driverless Tesla Model Ys were spotted traversing Austin, Texas, early Sunday morning. CEO Elon Musk posted on his social media platform X that the robo-taxi launch would start that afternoon. Riders could get a Lyft for a flat fee of $4.20. The launch was much smaller than Musk would have liked, in part due to pushback from lawmakers. A group of Democratic state senators and House members had asked the company to delay the debut until a new autonomous vehicle law took effect in September. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration also wants to know how the company would handle things like adverse weather and crashes. Daria Albinger, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
So far this morning, traffic has been, well, in pretty good condition, and right now that is continuing. Just not really seeing too many problems on the roadways at this time. Traffic volumes already starting to thin out quite a bit. Looking at the traffic cameras, things are looking pretty good on the highways at the moment. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Now the forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Partly cloudy skies, continued hot and humid today, a high of 92. Should feel like 95 to 100. It won't be as windy as recently, but still a strong gusty wind from the south. After 4 o'clock, expect an isolated thunderstorm. A few of those will linger into the evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and 73. Partly cloudy, hot and humid on Tuesday, high 93. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
The Monarch has new seasonal cocktails perfect for the warm spring and summer weather. Why not check them out at the Monarch at 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in historic Delano. 8:11 now, Stephen 10 in the morning on KNSS. Yesterday's high 91 degrees, normal high 90. And the rainfall this year we're at 22.5 inches for Wichita, which is just over 6 inches more than usual at this time of year. And today is, let's get a birthday that I want to tell you about. Oh, Frances McDormand is 68 today. Two-time Academy Award winner for Best Actress.
Two-time.
Fargo in 1997. And three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri in 2018. She's also the mom of in Almost Famous. And she's married to Joel Coen, who's one of the Coen brothers. Those guys, filmmakers who made Fargo, among other things, Raising Arizona. And frankly, over the past, 20, 25 years, the Coen brothers have made some really interesting movies, I think, and very, very creative. So anyway, there she is. She, And she's a good one. Yeah, she was that police officer up in Fargo. All right, it's 8:12 now. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And, of course, over the weekend, the bombing of those nuclear sites in Iran by the U.S. and the aftermath. A lot of folks are talking about it and what's going on. We're going to find out now with Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern and Congress and the War Powers Act coming into play here. Jared, nice to have you with us this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is who's got the power? President have the power, or does Congress have the power?
Well, they both do, depending on kind of what the and that's the issue, right? So the War Powers Act sort of says that there needs to be a congressional authorization, authorization for the use of military force. You may remember AUMF, something that Congress approved in the aftermath of 9/11 and the run-up to the war in Iraq. They have been used pretty broadly by administrations of both parties. But what it says as well is that there is, that the president has the ability to sort of circumvent that if there is a national emergency, if there is an imminent threat. And so I think what you're going to see from Congress here is a demand of what, or at least Democrats in Congress, a demand of what that imminent threat was. We have heard the White House, the president say that their assessment is that Iran was mere weeks away from being able to produce a nuclear weapon. That runs counter to some of the intelligence assessments that were delivered to Congress in March by the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. And so as Congress now gets briefed, and there was supposed to be a full briefing for members of the Senate tomorrow, I would imagine that is top on the priority list for Democrats, is how imminent was this threat? How successful was this strike? And is there a plan for any additional action? That certainly would require, you would imagine, an AUMF if there is a belief here that the United States is going to have to go back into Iran for any purpose.
Yeah, well, the force can come at our nation in so many different ways anymore. And finding out and assessing what that is and responding to it, that's a tough job. Tough job for a president or any president.
And again, listen, there is this Article 1 power of Congress. There's an Article 2 power of the president, and they sometimes come into conflict with one another. Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, this strike has happened, and it's not as if you can take it back. And generally, courts don't get involved in these kind of military questions. This could largely become sort of a political calculation, right? And a lot of times that political calculation is based on public sentiment. And we know that can change pretty quickly, largely based on the results, right? So if this is a strike that was catastrophic to the Iranian regime, to its nuclear program, does not involve a long-standing sort of U.S. commitment, it may garner an awful lot of public support. At the same time, we have seen over the last many years how public support can turn. The run-up to the war in Iraq was largely popular. If you look at polling from that time, became far less popular as some of that intelligence crystallized and as that war dragged on. The initial decision to remove all troops, withdraw troops from Afghanistan at the time was a very popular decision. It had bipartisan support. Obviously, the way that was carried out became a much different story and had much different support publicly. And so when you look at kind of how Congress responds to these moments in time, the successfulness and kind of how limited or unlimited they become can carry a great deal of weight.
Jared, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your information this morning. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, the debate over who's got the power to do what was done. Well, it's already done now. Like Jared said, there's no do-overs on that bombing of Iran. 8:16 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports now with Ted Woodward.
And we wrapped up a hot weekend with some great golf going on. It's Wichita's big golf event, the 36th annual Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas Wichita Open. All the action out of Crestview Country Club. And the winner this year is a 29-year-old from Canada, Miles Creighton, finishing on top of the leaderboard at the Wichita Open yesterday after shooting a 2-under par 68 in the final round to win it by one stroke.
I started to settle down a little bit for whatever reason. Kind of found something in my swing and settled me down a little bit and hit good shots down the stretch. And, yeah, the putt on 18, I've been working the last week really hard on keeping my head down. I tend to come up and out of putts, and I said I'm not picking my head up until I hear something, whether it's a groan or a cheer. So I think it lipped in. I actually don't even know.
Yeah, it was a cheer. He made the putt on 18 to finish up and be the winner at 17 under par for the tournament. And Miles Creighton shot an eagle on the par 4 11th hole yesterday. For his victory, he wins $180,000 for the 4 days in Wichita. His scorecard for the 4 days, 68, 68, 59, 68. So all the third round on Saturday made all the difference when he shot an 11 under 59, and that included a hole in one during that 59 on Saturday. So that was huge. A guy that did not go to a big time college, he went to college in Virginia, the Radford Highlanders. Now he is your champion at the Wichita Open. The 29-year-old Canadian, Miles Creighton, is the winner out at Crestview yesterday. Boy, it's been a great month for professional softball in Wichita. The brand new AUSL and the new league has been playing right from day one, right here in Wichita, here in the month of June. Yesterday, another fun game. Comeback for the Bandits, who beat the Blaze 9-7 on a hot afternoon at Wilkins Stadium. One of the stars for the Bandits, former Wichita State All-American, Sydney McKinney. She had another hit on her birthday yesterday, by the way. She's batting, she is fourth in the league in batting average with a .441 batting average as her Bandits got another win yesterday. And it all finishes up today. This is game 11 of the 11 here in Wichita this June for professional softball. And that'll be this evening at 5:30 p.m. start time at Wilkins Stadium, the big Wichita finale. And the first 500 fans get AUSL bandanas. So it's been a fun run, and got one more tonight for professional softball for the AUSL here in Wichita. Right down the road in Oklahoma City last night, it was Game 7 of the NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
On ABC, NBA season ended in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder won the championship with a 103-91 victory over the Indiana Pacers in a deciding Game 7. The MVP of the finals, same player who won MVP for the regular season, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's why you play the sport. You play the sport to win. You play every sport to win. We have a team full of competitors. You know, we did what it took this year to be champions, and we deserve this. We rose to the moment, and here we are.
NBA Finals MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with ABC. After he scored 29 points and dished out 12 assists in Game 7, Jalen Williams added 20 points for the Thunder. Chet Holmgren had 18. I'm Jared Max.
84 wins this season for the Oklahoma City Thunder, tied for third most in NBA history. First title ever, like they said, in Oklahoma City. Second in franchise history. The only other one was when this franchise was the Seattle Supersonics. Back in 1979, won the NBA title. But the NBA is sure spreading it around. Now 7 different champs in the last 7 seasons in the NBA.
Don't have a dynasty going on.
Not right now. No. So your latest champion now, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals lost 3-2 yesterday afternoon in front of 43,000 in San Diego against the Padres. It's back-to-back losses for the Royals, who have the day off today before coming home for a week. And the Wichita Wind Surge finished up the first half of the season yesterday, a 9-2 loss at Arkansas. Wichita finished the first half with a winning record, 37-32, runner-up in the division, but they could not catch the Springfield Cardinals, who won the division and got the playoff spot. Springfield 17-2 in the month of June.
Right.
So Wichita played fine, but you can't make up ground when a team is going 17-2. So Wichita will try to get things going in the second half of the season, get a playoff spot, and that second half will begin at home tomorrow night downtown. That's sports with Steve and Ted, and sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and now historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here.
Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean has some thoughts on the bombing of Iran. That's coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 8:30 here on a Monday morning, 78 degrees. One man was killed, another suffered serious injuries in a one-car crash Friday night in Sumner County. The Highway Patrol reports the accident occurred at the U.S. 166 and U.S. 81 junction on the north side of South Haven. Patrol says the car went into the northwest ditch where it rolled, striking a tree on the driver's side. 22-year-old Jordan Wade of Arkansas City died at the scene. A 23-year-old male suffered serious injuries.
Sedgwick County says do not call 911 to report fireworks, parties, and excess noise.
Instead, call the county's emergency communications non-emergency phone number, 316-290-1011. The line will be available from Friday, June 27th through Sunday, July 6th. From 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. This line will take calls that do not involve a threat to life or property and allows 911 dispatchers to focus on actual emergencies. That number again, 316-290-1011. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Several members of Congress are breaking with President Trump after he ordered U.S. military airstrikes on Iran.
The president's allies support him, especially if it compels Iran to straighten up. But President Trump campaigned against overseas interventions that exposed a GOP rift. Thomas Massie of Kentucky says Congress must vote on ordering airstrikes. The president chastised Massie, calling him a, quote, pathetic loser. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine wanted the Senate to vote before the bombing campaign, especially since Iran did not strike first. Now, two Democrats, Sean Casten of Illinois and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, think the strikes qualified the president for impeachment. The military action did not distract President Trump from posting, quote, let's get the great, big, beautiful bill done.
Fox's Chad Pegram reporting.
The race for Kansas governor starting to take shape. Several candidates from both parties emerging in the recent weeks. One from the Republican candidates throwing her hat in the ring is former Wichita school board member Joy Akins. She was asked what her first 100 days would look like if she were to be elected.
I think first thing we're going to do is before we walk in, we're going to have a plan for where is the spending too much, and we're going to start cutting. We're going to look at, this is what we're going to think about first and foremost as a priority, is where are we investing in the people of Kansas and it's working? And that's what we're going to light up. And where in the world, there's a bunch of places we're investing that are not working at all. Those are out. So we're going to look, there's a lot of things with data that we're going to look at like that and say, what's going on here? And let's get it out before we keep spending money on it.
Joy Akins was a guest last night on the John Whitmer Show here on KNSS.
Preliminary estimates reported by the Kansas Department of Labor and the Bureau of Labor Statistics show a seasonally adjusted employment unemployment rate in Kansas of 3.8% in May. Now, this is unchanged from 3.8% in April and an increase from 3.5% in May of 2024. The labor force participation rate for Kansas decreased to 67% in May. The jobless rate for the Wichita area was 4%. That's up from 3.9% in May, with just over 336,700 people on the job. Wichita MSA includes Sedgwick, Sumner, Butler, and Harvey counties. Stephen's in the morning, KNSS 850 here on this Monday. Three big things. Fireworks sales have begun in Sedgwick County. Non-emergency complaint line, 290-1011. Body of 12-year-old boy hit by a train last week has been recovered in Neosho County. Officials warn that terrorists could respond to U.S. bombing of nuclear weapon sites in Iran. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic conditions looking very good out there this morning. Not really seeing problem areas other than just a couple of places where we've got some road construction. Still just a little bit slow on that ramp from I-135 over to eastbound K-96 up there at the North Junction. We do have little spots of fairly heavy traffic westbound on Kellogg, and this is right around 143rd Street East. Traffic update, 98.7 at 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny with a 20% chance for rain later today at a high of 92 degrees. Partly cloudy with a 10% chance for rain tonight. The overnight low 73. Then on Tuesday, mostly sunny. And tomorrow's high 92 degrees. Now sunny. South wind gusting to 17 miles per hour. 78 degrees at Wichita's Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Why not check out the patio at the Monarch? It's been updated landscaping thanks to Johnson's Garden Center. And the patio is featuring new seasonal cocktails, perfect for the warm spring and summer weather. The Monarch, 579 West Douglas, at the roundabout in historic Delano. On Wall Street, the trading is underway here on a Monday morning. The Dow is up 80-some points. The S&P trading up almost 15 points. And the NASDAQ is trading up 15 points as well. Wichita Clinic is welcoming, Wichita Clinic is welcoming a new CEO. Wichita Business Journal update. Editor Kirk Semenoff with us this morning. Kirk, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. Reardon Clinic in Northeast Wichita will install a new CEO next week. She's Michelle Neasley, who joined the 50-year nonprofit about 18 months ago as its director of research. Michael Stewart, the CEO for the past year, will stay on as an advisor through July. Reardon Clinic focuses on integrative medicine, oncology, and neuropathic medicine through its headquarters in Wichita and another office in Overland Park. Neasley lives in Connecticut but commutes to Wichita and told the Business Journal last week she's unsure if she would move permanently to Wichita or to Overland Park. A new study shows artificial intelligence tools such as ChatGPT have become so relied on by Generation Z members of the workforce that trouble could be ahead. In a survey of 1,000 Gen Z employees, Resume Genius found 57% of workers have used AI to get feedback on their work before handing it over to a manager, and 56% said they've used AI for advice on how to communicate with managers or coworkers. Maybe even more concerning, 30% say they have generated fake work using AI to appear more productive, and 39% have used AI to automate tasks without manager approval. One career expert said AI has become an everyday support system for many Gen Z professionals. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
I got to ask, how can you produce fake work? Ted?
You've watched me for 28 years. I think you see it when you know it when you see it.
You got a point there. I can't argue with that. Due to steady activity at the landfill and expressed interest from residents, they're going to accept free drop-off of tree debris from the storms at Brooks Landfill running through Friday, the 27th. During regular business hours, residents are advised they may encounter long wait times while waiting to drop off tree debris. We had a gust come through Friday in Riverside, and it took down a bunch of big limbs, including one big one in my backyard that it didn't knock out the power, but it brought my Evergy line clear to the ground. So I had to have a crew come out and help me out. But how about you? Do you get any wind damage at your place, Kirk?
We had to do some trimming of a long tree branch that did some damage, but once we get that cleared out, I think we'll be okay. But yeah, it's amazing to drive around town this past weekend and just see the number of big branches or trees just uprooted.
Did you get the fence fixed up? Weren't you working on the fence?
Yeah, we got to work on the fence a little bit. It's good thing there are no dogs in either backyard right now. Otherwise, we would have visitors on both sides.
Too hot to be out there. All right, we'll check with you tomorrow morning, sir. Coming up, the Glenn Beck program here on KNSS. And they're going to be talking about Iran and nuclear weapons, as so many are. Top of the hour news, national and international reaction to the U.S. bombing of Iran. You missed any of today's show, just want to listen again, go to the free Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show, and news updates all day. We are Steve at 10 in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita.
You need new flooring, but you don't know where to